Good morning, church. It is great to be with you all. Oh, perfect. Now y'all can hear me, right? What a wonderful day it is. It is beautiful, sunny, shining outside. Wait, isn't that the theme for the year? Shine? Beautiful. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today. We are going to be talking about shining and how we as a church can shine. Now, last week, Robert kicked off our new year, and his message was, I don't know about you, I thought it was incredible. Being able to sit there, think about how my body, my soul, how it's all connected and one, so that we honor God with our bodies, with our soul, with our minds, with everything that we have in our being. And that's really the theme that we are going to be going with today. You know, whenever you go into the new year, you always want to take some time to sit and just kind of evaluate, well, how did last year go for me? You know, what was the good? What was the bad? What was the ugly? You know, I think it's important for us not just to do that on a personal level, but sometimes we got to ask those questions as a church body. What was good? You know, what was bad? And not what was ugly, because we're the church, we're Christ's body, so what was beautiful, right? Y'all are beautiful people. And I'm excited to be able to share with you, because I think there are some ways that God really shined through us powerfully last year in 2018. And so we're going to talk about some of those. Some of them I'm not going to give you, right? God has been working powerfully, so, you know, sometimes these lists, they can be too long to just go at one time. So if I miss something today, you can talk to me afterwards, or you can know that God knows, and you see, you know, he sees you, he sees the good deeds, the good works that you're doing. But it's also, if we want to be, right, what's one of the things that Robert talked about last week? He talked about in your physical health, once you hit your goal, a lot of times you just kind of plateau, or you end up falling right back into the habit. If your mindset isn't, how can I continue to grow? And so that's something we need to think about as a church, is how can we really grow in how we shine for Jesus in 2019? And so I'm going to keep it real simple. We've got three Bible verses today. I think three and maybe one more. We'll throw another one in there. We'll see how the Spirit leads. But we're just going to break it down and then just have a little bit of a family talk, right? We can do this today, church, and kind of go from there. So if you could all turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we are going to start in verse 14 to 16. But before we read Matthew 5, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for how much you love us, the grace that you've shown us. We are so humbled to be able to be here together, worshiping you, honoring you, to be able to serve you with our lives. You are an incredible God, and we know that we are not worthy, but we also know that you desire to be close to us, and your love for us is so great. I pray that you speak through me today. I pray for the condition of our hearts, that we can hear you, that we can hear your word, Father, that you can speak through us, so that it's no man telling us what we need to be, but that it's your voice that's calling us, Father, so that we can glorify and honor you. We love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, and I think many of you are familiar with at least portions of Matthew 5. This is what we're going to read is a section of what is considered Jesus's, I guess, you can argue whether or not it's his greatest sermon, but it's certainly the longest one that we have by him. And so in it, he's laying out just in some ways, he's calling people to a standard. He's calling people to glorify God with their lives. And so right now, this section that we're going to read is a part of kind of the introduction as he's setting this up. But in chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, he says these words. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so right away, when you read these verses, what do we see the emphasis is on? Glorifying our Father in heaven. Glorifying our Father in heaven. And I know that's our goal as a church, right? When we meet together, that's what we're aiming for. That's what we want. But he tells them a couple things in that very first verse, and he says, you are the light of the world, right? You are a town that is built on a hill. So what does he mean by that? Now, a lot of times we read this verse, and the first thing that comes to mind is, hey, I am a light. That's awesome. You know, what do lights do? They illuminate. People see things. They're warm. They bring joy. Like if you walked up to someone and said, you are just a light to my life. Like that's a compliment that you want to get, right? But what we see here is the you that's actually used here is not singular. He's not talking about you individual are the light of the world. He's saying you collectively, y'all, right? Y'all are the light of the world. And I think that to me is one of the encouraging things about this is that sometimes, right, we go through periods of time where we're up, where we're down. Sometimes we don't feel like we're the brightest light. But collectively, that's the question we have to think about. What kind of light are we shining as a church? What does our light look like? And I want you to sit there and think about that. I remember over the holiday break, I was sitting and I was talking with my brother, and he asked me this question. He's like, TJ, people in your congregation are all different life stages. They come from all different cultural backgrounds, and they're, you know, we're, some of you are just so different. And in my mind, I went, praise God, right? Like, that's amazing that someone who, like, just is on the outside can come in and look and see people of a very diverse background coming together and worshiping God in one place. That is such an encouraging way that we are shining a light. And so then he followed it up, and he started asking me this question. He said, but so if that's the case, how do you figure out what to preach on? How do you figure out what to say? Because you're going to say one thing, sometimes people hear it one way. You say another thing, sometimes people hear it another way. And I don't know, the Spirit was just working in that moment and was helping me to think about, okay, well, you know, when a group of people gets together, there's kind of like a group personality that comes out. Right? You think about this all the time. Like, you go in your household, there is a culture that is unique to your house. When you're around one another, I tell you, when the guys are there, a different personality, right? I live with four brothers, four the men in our church here, and it's awesome. It's so fun. But our personalities come out in a different way when we are together than necessarily when we're alone. And the same is true for us as a church. And so if you had to think about what our personality was, what the culture of our church, what it's like, what would you say? What do you think our church is like? I think that's a question that you may need to take some time to think about. Some of you, just right off the bat, because I know you, like me, we are very opinionated, And some of these things, they just come out off the top of my tongue. Well, I love this. This is great about my church. This is, but you know what? We really need to change this. Oh no, we are failing. We are falling short. And some of those things, they just fly out. But when I think about some of the things that characterize our church identity, well, let me ask this. This is probably a better place to start. All right, instead of starting with, how do you feel about our church identity? We should really be asking ourselves this question. How does God feel about our church's identity? How does God feel about the way that we are when we are together as we're worshiping Him and honoring Him? Would He look at our service and say, amen, praise God. That is a those are my children there. I'm so proud and well pleased. You know, when I think about the culture that we have and our identity, there are absolutely a couple things that come to mind that I think, man, guys, God is smiling on us. You know, number one, I just love our fellowship. And I love the time that we get to spend together. You know, it was so encouraging to me. I had a friend here last week, you know, one of my friends from seminary. He goes to a different church. And him coming in, just one of the things that he really noticed, he's like, man, a lot of people came up and introduced themselves to me. And I left, and I think for him, he was just like, you know, he was just like, man, I'm not used to this in the setting where I am. And I left that conversation just feeling like, amen. Like, if there's one thing that we want to be known for here in our services, other than the way that we worship God with our whole heart, it's that we are a warm and welcoming group. And then someone who comes here is like, feels like, man, the people here, they notice me. They care about me. They're not just in their own world. I mean, that was one of the things where I felt like when I came to our church for the first time, that was a difference maker. And I am so encouraged to see that that is still a way that we are shining. You know, I think another way that we are shining, church, is you are some of the most generous people that I feel like we have the privilege to be able to be around, that I have the privilege to be around. I mean, the way that we as a church give to missions, the way that we give to the poor and serve, I am, oh man, I mean, come on. What great strengths to have as a congregation. The way that God is, I mean, those are things that, if anything, right? Man, the way that we serve the poor, the way that we serve those who are in need, that's something that God looks and says is commendable. And I think the last thing that I just want to throw out there is I think all of us in here, and I know we're all in different places and we get hurt sometimes and we go up and down, but I really believe that everyone in this room really wants to see God be glorified in their life. You know, amen. Are we a perfect church? No, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But I think those are things that when we look at, when we consider who we are as a people, God is glorified in the way that we act, in the way that we are when we come together. And so just in the same way, right, when you think about the verses that we were reading here, when something good is going on, when something that is glorifying to God is going on, it can't be hidden. No matter how hard you try it, it just doesn't work. Because a light is a light. If you're sleeping and someone turns a light on, you know it, right? If you're home and somebody leaves a light on, you know it when you wake up in the morning. It happens. There's no escaping it. Right? In the same way that a city on a hill is noticeable, so the good things in our lives should be apparent to the people who look at them from the outside. Right? You can't pull up to a or visit a city like it or go, you know, like Rome or and not like be able to say, whoa, the Colosseum is not hidden. It's beautiful. You go to Paris, you see the Eiffel Tower, it's there. Right? So in the same way as a church, we cannot be hidden. And so what's going on here? What is it that can keep a light from shining the way that it needs to? Well, he gives us a very, very simple thing. If you look at it, right, he says, well, the only way to really hide a light, well, the only way to really for people not to see a light is for you to hide it under a bowl. And I think this is something that we as a church need to take very seriously, because if any of you are you know, you got a little pyrotech, you know, pyro side to you, you know that flames that you cover, what happens to them eventually? They go out. And so that is not something that we want. That's not something what we're going to. And so we have to think about the things. What are the ways that maybe God has been hidden in your life, or ways that we've been burying him, covering him up? And I think a lot of that has to do with what we are aiming for as a church. What are we really going for? And so I have a kind of a thought experiment. It's not really a thought experiment. It's just one question I want you to think about sometimes, you know. But I feel like it's important for us as a church to consider, right? As we're talking about our strengths, we also need to consider some of the ways that maybe we need to grow. And again, we're all in different places here. But think about this. If we removed all of the church events from your calendar, like we stopped meeting on Sundays, we stopped meeting for midweeks, we got rid of life groups, we did all these different things, and I'm not saying that we're going to do any of that. We are not going to do any of that, right? Because being with the body is a wonderful and necessary thing. We cannot do the Christian life alone. Amen? Okay, good. Just wanted to lay that as the groundwork. All right, but if we remove those things from your calendar, would anyone know that you are a follower of Jesus? And I think that's really where the heart of things come to. I want us to consider Galatians chapter 4. In verse 18, it says, "It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you." Or for our purposes, not just when we are together. Because at the end of the day, right, isn't that more the true test of discipleship, of how we follow Jesus? Is not when we're here, and that is a part of it, right? It is an essential part of it. But if people do not see Christ-likeness in how you carry yourself in your everyday life, then it doesn't matter how many Sunday services you show up to, doesn't matter how many midweeks you go to, doesn't matter whether or not you're at every life group. You know, the teens? Amen, right? It doesn't matter one way or the other if people cannot see Jesus in you. And so, when I think about that, and I think about what someone's heart, what someone's character would be like or should be like if they're shining a light for God, and I think this is key, right? Do you shine on your own? No, you do not. Do we as a church shine on our own? No, we do not. Our light is borrowed. We are reflecting Jesus. He is the one that shines, not you, not me. This is really what it's going to come down to. And I remember just having a conversation this week with someone who's serving in the youth and family ministry. And it was a great conversation. We were talking about this youth who's studying the Bible, and who they're, you know, thinking, okay, well, you know, how do I know if this person is really ready to be a follower of Jesus, if they're ready to be baptized, if they're ready to really, if they're in that place where they're like, okay, yes, that I want to live my life for God. And so we started talking through some of these different things, and I just want to put this up front. We are not, right, in anyone who's a follower of Jesus, perfection is not what we are looking for, right? Can you be perfect? No, I don't care how hard you try, right? There's going to be areas where we fall short. There's going to be ways that we do not hit the mark. But one thing that we can be is passionate. And we can be compelled by our love of Jesus. And so he was talking with me about, and he's like, you know what? Well, this teen, I feel good about this because he's not from our region. Yeah, I'm not blowing up, you know. Guys, you don't have to worry. I'm not talking about you. So he's sharing with me about this kid. He's like, he's just such a good kid. He really, you know, he says he wants to be a disciple, and he really just he's just so sweet. But here's a couple concerns that I have. He said, well, you know, he's not really reading his Bible. And I said, okay, sure, okay, that's not necessarily. Right, we're not talking about perfection, so let's dig a little bit more. Even though I do believe that in a teenager, it does say a lot about their character to be in their Bible consistently, and we should. And he was sharing with me more. He's like, you know, but I feel weird challenging him more on being in the Word every day, because one, some of the people who are in his Bible studies aren't reading their Bible consistently. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Let's keep going. All right, keep going. Now, again, nobody's perfect, right? We're not there. We're not aiming for perfection. But he's like, yeah. And I felt like this. And I'm like, okay. Well, let me ask you this. Do you see repentance in this person's life? I see. Do you actually see? Like, is he just a good guy, or do you see him actively trying to be like Jesus? Do you see a difference from who he was before he was in the Bible to who he is now? And he's like, oh, that's a great question. I said, okay, so sometimes there's some other things, and I know we're all in different places, and sometimes people just have a hard time with reading, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. I think everybody has their own strengths. Some of us are avid prayer warriors, right? You are in prayer doing it, but sometimes the reading, you're like, okay, let me spend 5 minutes there, but then like a bunch of time just praying on what you read. Okay, I get that. That happens. I say, okay, but what do you see in his heart? When you look at his actions, when he talks about who God is, when he talks about his need and his desire, is he just saying that he wants to get baptized because he knows that's what he should do? Or is he saying, you know what, no, I want to do this because everything in my life is pointed towards being like Jesus. Because I want to be close to him, I want to be like him, I want to spend eternity with him. You think about some of the Psalms, as they say, as a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts for you, Lord. Do you see that in his heart? Do you see that in his actions? Because, okay, maybe he's not spending 45 minutes in the Bible, but is he spending that time in prayer? Is he thinking about how God can be glorified in his life each and every day? And you know what? If these guys who are in his Bible study, if their hunger, their zeal for the Lord isn't there, then this is a perfect opportunity for all of us to repent together. And so, you know, we know, hopefully I gave him a bunch of things and, you know, to think about, to consider. But hopefully you got from what I'm sharing this is that you are thinking about your relationship with God. Whether you have that same hunger, that same zeal, because I got to tell you, if that hunger is there, it does not matter what anyone else around you is doing. You are going to glorify God with your life. It is going to happen. You are going to be that light. We are going to be that light. And if there's anything that we want to characterize us as a church, we are a people
who are hungry and passionate for the Lord. Not perfect. And I think in order for us to be that, that's where each of us has to take stock of where we are. To take stock of our hearts. You know, I think with that, and I know life can get really crazy sometimes, right? It can be really busy. And I don't know what your 2018 was like, whether you felt like it was a great year for you, or, you know, whether you felt like it was just, you know what, I just made it through. I survived. But God is offering you an opportunity this morning to be able to make a different choice. To be able to say, okay, God, I want to be passionate about you again. I want to glorify you again. And I think, you know, when someone is serious about something, you know it, right? I mean, I think about growing up and being, you know, with my parents and how they were. I can tell, and parents, your kids know this. I don't know, I'm sure you recognize this. Your kids know when you're serious, right? I know. In my house, it usually was a raised voice and my full name, and I knew it was time. It was time for me to obey, right? Before that point, I mean, you see this, and this is how we can be as people. We will push every boundary. We'll think, oh, can I do this? Can I get away with that, right? And we can have that mindset when it comes to God. Well, how much can I get away with and still make it to heaven? And we could go with that. We can push that boundary and move to the side. But is that really shining the light of Christ? Right? Should our hearts say, oh man, how can I be like you to the fullest amount possible today? How can I glorify you? And I think that's something we need to think about, because the young people in this church, the singles in this church, the marriage in this church, your friends that are not here, that you know at work, they can tell if you are merely talk or if you are serious about your relationship with Jesus. And I think there are some things that we need to really think about. Parents, I want to throw this question out to you. And think about it, because don't just answer it with what I know the right answer is, but think about, like, when you look at your actions, what is the message that they send? Would you rather your kids be kind and Christ-like, or at MIT, Harvard, Yale, or a pro athlete? I want you to think about it. Because it seems that at times, and look, I know this is not everyone, and there are some incredible examples, but sometimes it just looks from the outside, right? And I have a little bit more than an outside view on your kids. It looks like sometimes you're more concerned with them getting into a good college than you are about them being like Jesus. You see the talks that you have. You show up at parent-teacher conferences. You ask them about their grades. Why don't we have the same passion, the same heart, when it comes to trying to form Christ in them? I mean, and look, I know. I'll speak for me. I am not the perfect teen leader. I'm not the perfect youth leader. I know I need to grow in my communication. And I think sometimes we can set things up in a way that that maybe we don't allow you to use your gifts to the fullest extent. And I think, hey, I want your help. We need your help. Because at the end of the day, I know, guys, we are on the same team here, and we want the same thing. We want to see Christ glorified. You want to see both yourselves and your kids go to heaven, to be with God for eternity, to do incredible things of faith. I mean, teens, you guys know that I love you. I think so highly of what God can do through you, and how powerful, you know, how powerful that the example and the things that you could do. I mean, you guys are going to be planting churches one day, going out, that you're going to be excelling in your career, and again, I'm not saying, obviously, it's not a bad thing to want to go to these things. I mean, I want to go to Yale. I mean, who does, right? You know? Like, we should strive to be excellent in every area of our life, right? But Christ always has to be number one. That is the foundational thing that we learned about being a disciple. Anything, anywhere that God calls us, that's where we're going to go. That's what God has called us to. And so many of you have incredible gifts. Please take them out from under the bowl. Don't hide them anymore. Don't let the craziness of life, the stress of work, or your job, why? They don't matter. Christ matters. And I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, like, you know what's important in your life. If there was a crisis right now, like someone that we love, cared about, got in a car accident, everything goes into perspective. You realize there are some things that just, that you were worried about, concerned about, that just, who cares, right? And I hope in saying that nothing just happened, but, you know, but God, you know, God is powerful. And so, I just want to end kind of on a note with some things that I think can really help us shine as a church and as a congregation as we go into 2019. And again, I think this is powerful. Your destiny is to be a light and to be a powerful light. I know this is going to happen, and I know God is going to shine brighter in us as a church. I'm fully convinced of that. And I hope you are too. We will glorify God this year in a powerful way. But something we need to consider is, okay, if my life right now is lacking that supernatural quality to it, because we don't just want to be a gathering that people come to and say, oh, they're a bunch of nice people. We want to be a group of people that someone connects with, interacts with, and they say, whoa, I don't even understand why there is something so different about them. I can't even put my finger on it, but I know that it's something that I've never seen or experienced before, and this could only happen because there is a God in heaven. And so I want us to think about these things, right? Jesus was not meant to stay in the tomb, right? We don't bury him. He was supposed to come out, be resurrected. So let's resurrect him in our lives. And so here's a couple of quotes from that I think are really powerful that I'd hope that we meditate on. I love this one by Martin Luther. He says, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." And so he said this quote when he was asked about how he does all the things that he does during the day. He says, you know what? My life is so crazy and busy today that I need to wake up early to spend more time with God, because that's the only way it's going to get done. I love this one here. George Sweeting says, if we don't maintain a quiet time each day, it is not really because we are too busy. It is because we do not feel it is important enough. Quiet time is not just a helpful idea, it is absolutely necessary to spiritual growth. And the final one is by this guy, R.A. Torrey. It says, if we are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. Many services, but few conversions. Much machinery, but few results. So we could do a whole lot. We could serve the poor. We could give everything. But if we as a church are not reflecting the light of Christ, then it won't matter. But guys, I'm convinced of better things. And I know there are things that we can do. Hey, you know, I know that I'll say this is my thing for to way to help some of my roommates. Like Gordon, he serves just tirelessly, Gordon and Ashley, with the campus ministry. And they do a fantastic job. You know, I know one of the things that they would appreciate and would really love is, guys, just if you see a campus student, go love up on them. Call them. Invite them over for dinner. We're not saying you need to do crazy things, but they need the love. They need the encouragement. And I'm not just talking about the young people who have grown up in our church. Certainly them too. But adopt these people so they can see what a godly home is like. So they can see what Christ can do. You know, and for the singles, think about how is God calling you? How can you serve? How can you give? How can you glorify this God this year? And parents, you know, and I know both singles and parents, we're going to talk about this over the next month or so. I just kind of wanted to throw out some things for us to consider, because we are going to be having a workshop within the next month or so, where we're going to be able to really talk about specifically in the youth ministry, if you're a parent, how you can shine. But if you're a single or an empty nester or a married without kids, how God can use you to shine more powerfully in a very specific way, right? Because in each life stage, it's different. Christ has got to shine in different ways. But it's always Him that we're reflecting. So as we close out, consider, how are you going to let Christ shine